I'm delighted to welcome you. Thank you for spending this time on a Saturday morning. Some of us know it as Sabbath, but for the rest of the world, and for our brothers and sisters here in the Skagit Valley, this is one of the few places you can go to have a worship option on a Saturday morning. We'd love to have you bring your friends. This church is always open, not just physically, not just the doors, but our hearts. And I think you're going to find that today as you worship with us and hopefully stay and eat with us afterwards. The topic today is Medical Missionaries 2020. And I would like to start with a part of a slideshow that I prepared 10 years ago in another country. I adapted it today, and it's going to be our introduction. So if you could have the lights off for just a moment, I'd like to take you through this. Our world is beautiful. It's also sick. It's a hungry world. And many in this world are powerless. We're addicted, discouraged, terrorized, afraid. But Denise is not afraid today, even of a Muslim, because she knows a global secret. Mother Teresa practiced this secret. Read this with me, would you? Tomorrow will be better than today. I believe that because Jesus said there's faith, hope, and love, and these three things last forever. And I believe with all my heart that tomorrow will be better than today. But it doesn't look that way if we open our eyes to see the sadness in the world. We've been focusing for several months on the people in the cracks who live in Skagit Valley. That's between 300 and 1,000 who are somewhere today in on our streets or parking lots or living around the corner in an abandoned car. But if you were to go with me to Mumbai today, there would be 6 million out of the 24 million population living on the streets. And for people like this lady and her baby, she doesn't have a hope that she'll ever get off those streets. So when we look at that darkness and that dismal picture, it's hard to believe and to have hope that things can actually get better. Today, in the next 30 minutes, I want to give you some hope. And it's not just hope that comes from above, but today I want to begin the training of, biblically and practically, medical missionaries. How many doctors are there in the house today? None. So you might say to me, well, John, what are you talking about, a medical missionary? Okay, there are a few nurses. We know who you are. You have blessed us many times in the past. And then there are some others who have worked in paramedical fields. Praise the Lord. But that's still just a small, small percentage of our population today. And in most churches, it's a very small group. And is this the elite group that Jesus has called to be healers of the world? If so, even with all of the assets that they bring. And by the way, the Seventh-day Adventist Church operates the largest Protestant healthcare system in North America. Second largest in the world. 70,000 employees that we have in 43 hospitals located in 10 states of this great country of ours. We could be proud if we wanted to be. But we're not going to be proud because we realize that as disciples, are you a disciple today? Yes. Yes, as disciples, Jesus has called us to be healers. And so I want you to join, to think of yourself as one of 20 million Christ followers in 220 countries that believe it is better to light a candle than curse the darkness. Because cursing the darkness, it's easy. Oh my, what are we going to do? What is the state of affairs? What's our country going to? And on and on. And today we stand to say, no, we are going to light that candle, and we're going to let it be lit by Jesus, who has authority to tell us that to a child, middle-aged, until the last breath we take, God has asked us as his disciples to be compassionate and to be healers. Do you believe that today? I hope so, because that's the theme of our biblical study and our practice. How to put into place the compassion that Jesus showed his disciples and his people. We've been told that medical missionary work is the right hand of the gospel. That's a hand from Tamil Nadu, and that's a Bible in Tamil. Ministry leaders, we have been told that true medical missionary work is of heavenly origin. It was not originated by any person who lives. We know that because Jesus was the ultimate medical missionary. And I like to call him Dr. Jesus. But actually, if I had called him Dr. Jesus back then, Dr. Luke would have probably said, come on, I didn't take my training for nothing. Dr. Luke wrote a lot of the gospel. He wrote Luke, he wrote Acts. He was very detailed as a physician. He noticed things. And yet I think he would be the first to say, I'm stepping aside, because when Dr. Jesus lived, well, I can hardly wait to write the stories about what he did that I could never have done with my own medical training. Brothers and sisters, the doing of medical missionary work brings rays of heavenly what? Brightness to suffering souls. And so I shared this because in many ways you would say, well, pioneering work, well, you know, pioneering work in the mission field happened 200 years ago. There are no places to pioneer where the name of Jesus has never been heard. I'm not so sure that we could say that. There may be pioneering work that needs to happen right in our valley. There may be people who have never heard Jesus. They've heard his name taken in vain. And they've heard his name used and misused by other Christians. So their takeaway message of the name Jesus is not real good. But today I want to say to you that through the Holy Spirit helping you to be outstanding medical missionaries, you can recast, you can give another spin, if you will, the correct one, to people who really have never seriously taken the name of Jesus to heart. And so today, here is my hope for you. I want you to heal the sick, because that's what Jesus asked you to do. And I want you to save a life. Denise, I want you to join me, and I want you to read from the Word of God. We have come to a time, by the way, when every member, how many members? Every member of the church should take hold of medical missionary work. And that was written over 100 years ago to sincere, Bible-believing Christ followers. So to you, I offer this special moment of praise, a wake-up call for some of you. Some of you may not have ever thought of yourself as a healer, but you are by authority of Dr. Jesus himself. And now if you would turn to Dr. Luke's message, you can just turn that off, Jennifer, for now. And Denise, would you read, and would you please turn in your Bibles to Luke, the 10th chapter. And this is Dr. Luke writing to us today, telling us a story about when Jesus sent out medical missionaries. Luke 10, and we're going to read verses 1 through 9. All right. enemies.
After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them out two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God is near you."
Let's start with the last verse. What is the command given by the authority of Dr. Jesus? What does he say? Heal the sick. And tell them, notice the timeline here. Jesus hadn't yet started his ministry. So he was sending out an advance party in a year of politics. We understand that, right? These politicians of ours do not get big crowds because they just showed up. There's a huge amount of advanced planning and work that goes into the preparation of a group of people that are clapping and cheering and listening to what somebody has to say. Jesus was the master teacher. He was also very good at public relations. He knew very well that he started with 12, by the way. And the chapter before, if you look at chapter 9, he sent the 12 out to do the same thing. But now he multiplied this and he sent them two by two. And he had 72 disciples this time, just one chapter away. We don't know about the chronology. We don't know if this was a week later or 6 months later. What we do know is that Jesus was about multiplication of his team. He didn't feel like he had to hold the power himself. He didn't say, "Well, you know what? I've got this connection with the Father. When I pray, things happen. Lepers are healed. Devils are cast out. Now, all of you guys, just watch me do this." See, that's what a CEO, that's what a manager type wants to do. Continue to be the leader. Let everybody know there's authority and power here and that you know a little more, you have a little more in your hands than everybody else. But Jesus was the opposite of that. And so he had 12 disciples that he empowered the chapter before to go out and to do the same amazing miracles he did. And now in this chapter, 72, he's sending them out, this time though, two by two. And he says, go, heal, and tell people that the kingdom is close to you. Well, Jesus hadn't yet come. He was establishing. He was the Messiah. He is the Messiah. And he was there to start, to kick off his kingdom. But at this moment, he said, you just go and meet the people's needs. Love on them. Heal them. Get rid of the wretched devils that are tormenting them. I'm giving you authority and power to do this. And then whisper in their ear when you're praying with them, you know what? The kingdom is just around the corner. Of course, he didn't tell them what the kingdom was going to look like. And what did the Jewish people think the kingdom was going to look like at that time? If they'd had weaponry, you know, we're gonna get rid of these wretched Roman oppressors. The kingdom is right around the corner. The kingdom is right around the corner. So as they are healing people, that is the message they're giving. And they're thinking, what is this? What is about to come? In their minds, they have a different perspective. It's interesting that in this passage, as you read it carefully, you will notice several principles. One, he said, go to homes and go to towns. It's interesting. You know, it was good to talk to people along the way, but he said, don't get sidetracked. As you're going to the town or that home, don't talk with anybody along the way. Now, I suspect that if there had been someone injured, like the Good Samaritan, Jesus wouldn't have said, oh, just turn your cheek, don't even worry about it, and keep on your way. The context here is, though, don't get diverted. Go to that home that is waiting for you that I've prepared. Go to that town where the people are going to be ready and open. And don't get diverted. He also, it was very interesting, he didn't provide for them a lot of assets. There was no per diem, no budget, no kit, no certificate of all things that I'd like to provide for you. Okay, but Jesus didn't do that. He said, don't take extra things, just wear what you've got and go. And I promise you this, you will be effective and successful. That is the story, in short, of Luke both 9 and 10. So today, what would you like to do? Would you, I have identified 20 skill sets that over a period of months, I'd love to see you have. Some of you already have them. Some of you have all of them. Some of you have some of them. And so for those of you that are curious about what they might be, I'm going to ask if I could have some helpers who would help me pass out some papers. Could I? I've got some of my help. Would you bring your helpers over here? Oh, yeah, and do it real fast. They're right there on the front, and they look like this, okay? All right, any other helpers that want to help Amrielle will be greatly appreciated. Thank you very much. Yes, you can do this. Isn't it nice that they took your money and now they're going to give you something that's much more valuable than the few bucks you gave, by the way? Just putting it out there, all right? This paper that you're getting has two sides. I'd like for you to turn to the blue side first. Blue doesn't mean blues. Blue means the sky, the ocean, the beauty of Mount Vernon, all right? Blue. I love this color. So Medical Missionary 2020, the first thing you can read, would you read with me the first heading in blue? What is it? Heal the sick. Second heading? Third heading? Fourth heading? Yes. Fifth heading? Okay. So you remember there are some consequences if you read your New Testament and even Old Testament about people that tried to make money off of God's grace. What we're learning about today is God's grace. All right? If you learn some skills that you're going to share with somebody and you're going to help heal them and take a hold of their wounded hearts and make a difference in their lives, this is intended for you to give as grace has been given to you. So, and then the 20 powerful healing remedies I've identified and had the privilege of helping a lot of people. There are more than this, but if you have this in your quiver, these healing remedies, you will be in great demand, I guarantee you. Go. As medical missionaries, it's not our job to try and bring people here and fill up the pews and teach them here. It's our job to learn, use the church as a training school, and then to go. Get out of here, okay? Now, if you notice between the Old and the New Testament, there was a tabernacle, and that was the place everybody was to come to. It was located right in the center of the camp, and your whole spiritual life was all about coming to get your sins forgiven in a central location where God lived. The New Testament, however, changes that paradigm. And Jesus says to his disciples and his medical missionaries, go out to the homes and the towns. Don't expect them to come to you. Now my spirit lives in you. It's not enclosed in a tabernacle. So I'm telling you to go. That's the operative word. And that's, of course, this church will fill up when we go and we minister to the people that God has called us to. And then pray. Thank you for that wonderful story. Every one of us can pray. When we are over our heads, we do not know what to do. We don't have the skill sets, and maybe we don't have the money to access health care. But we can pray. When you can't say a word, you can pray. When there are so many tears in your voice because of the compassion you feel for the person you're ministering to, you can pray, sometimes silently, many times out loud. And now I would like to go to our lab. Here's how it's going to work. Start. Group number one will start over here, and you'll be watching Janella and Denise as they teach you how to make homemade rehydration solution. So that if somebody, they'll teach you how to do the pinch test so you can know if somebody's dehydrated, and they're going to teach you how to do that in 4 minutes, and you're going to have a chance to taste it so that you know what it tastes like, so that when you make it yourself, all of a sudden you say, you know, that's not what it tasted like at church. I've either got too much sugar or too much salt in here or whatever, okay? So you're going to have a chance to watch them do it and to taste. Right in the middle, out in the foyer, you're going to learn about, from our special nurse, who is also a medical missionary as a member of our church, you're going to learn about poisons and how to deal with some very, very effective ways to combat poisons if you've taken them in through your mouth, either by water, fluid, or food. And right over here on this side, you are going to learn the Heimlich maneuver. This is an extremely important life-saving time. And I want to just tell you a quick story. We have somebody who is not here today, who is a member, who has given me permission to wish her a happy birthday. Does anybody know whose birthday it is? Yes, my sister right over there. That's Rosella. Now, Rosella is a very sweet lady. All of you know that, right? Can you say amen to that? And if you don't know her, you would soon figure that out. The other day, we were supposed to meet her at the hospital for a little consultation, and we were waiting there, and she came in breathlessly and said, "I almost didn't make it." And I thought she was joking. But in fact, she wasn't joking. She had inhaled something, and she lives alone right now. And she was at home, and she couldn't breathe. And so she... Have you ever... I don't know. I hope you've never experienced that. It's not a good feeling. Trying to figure out what to do. There's nobody at home. So she ran out as quickly as she could, still without it being able to breathe, had enough energy to get to her next door neighbor. What's her neighbor's name? Chelsea. Is Chelsea here? I left a message and said you could make a cameo. We'd love to see you in person. But anyway, Chelsea's just the sweetest. Some of you have met her, haven't you? Okay. And so Chelsea is a mom. I don't know if she has medical training. No. She's a mom, but she's smart. And so immediately she saw the universal sign of distress, and she did what you're going to learn how to do. Every one of you, you need to know this. You just never know. Because if Chelsea hadn't known how to use the Heimlich maneuver, we'd be having Rosella's funeral right about now. And that's not an exaggeration. She couldn't do it herself. She needed somebody, a medical missionary, who had a little bit of knowledge to save her life. So with that, those of you that want to stay here in the sanctuary, we'll have some soft music. You can pray, you can meditate. But I really want to urge you to get these three certificates signed off. So I'm just going to...
Heimlich maneuver. So Mark is going to be choking here. So he's got an obstruction in his airway. So I'm going to come around with my fist on his below the rib cage right here and grab and pull it sharply. Just launch that object.
So at the hospital, we actually use the activated charcoal if they've ingested too much of a medicine. It will actually bind to the medication. It helps it pass through without being absorbed. It's pretty awesome. So I looked up a few more things. things that activated charcoal is used for, just for fun. They have top 10 uses. It actually can whiten your teeth, although there is a caution, don't use too much. You can hear.
Make it a powder?
Yep. Wet a toothbrush, dip it in it, brush teeth as normally. You pay attention to the area showing most stain. Sip a bit of water, squish it, rinse and spit until it's clear. And I have seen, I know people that do that. It will relieve gas and bloating, so if you have overeaten, had a heavy meal, it will help alleviate that feeling. It does treat poisonings.
Yeah.
Which is definitely a plus. It does help filter the water. And it's an emergency toxin remover. Pastor John was telling us about in India, Cobra Country. They ran out of the anti-venom. And the doctor was familiar with charcoal. Took the local charcoal just from home fires. Took it, put it on gauze, used a little bit of water paste, put it over the wound or bites, because the bites kept coming whether you have the medicine or not. They treated as many with that charcoal poultice with good results as they did with the antibiotics. So definitely worth having. It will work out bee stings. You get a skin infection, definitely worth to have. So, and I need the rehydration solution here if you want to try it. It's a little tiny. I'm going to make it while you taste it.
Oh, so we just print it.
Yeah, the recipe is on the certificate, so you won't forget. But it is half a cup or half a citrus.
Okay, so that's cool. Yeah, try it. It's not that bad.
The recipe is right on your certificate. All right, everybody, look this way and I'll show you about how you can tell if somebody's, one way to tell if they're dehydrated, okay? Well, one thing is, how do you know if you're dehydrated? Just, are you thirsty? Hopefully you're thirsty if you're dehydrated, but this is another way. Pinch the skin up and let it go, and it should go down immediately. Now, did you see what mine did? It went down super simple. That means I'm really dehydrated. Like in the hospital, they might give you an IV, excuse me, an IV or something, and say, oh, she's having enough water.
Okay, so this is supposed to be just like Gatorade, but you can use it like in scenarios where you can't reach Gatorade quick enough for your kids when you're at home. It has half the citrus, 2 tablespoons of sugar, half a teaspoon of salt, and 1 liter of water.
But by the authority of our Savior Jesus Christ, he has given to us the privilege to act as medical missionaries simply for the sake of representing his nature. There's no strings attached. There's no money to be transacted. There is no, if I do this for you, you'll come to my church next Saturday. None of that. This is simply out of compassion. Out of compassion, and because you are reflecting as ambassadors the character of God. It is his character to heal. Is it true? When you go home today, I'm asking you to look up some texts from the Word of God that help you understand how much God loves to heal. Do you believe that that's found in his Word? Do you think it's true? Both in the Old Testament and the New Testament? Isaiah is just a great place to go. So are the book of Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Job. There is so much about God as the healer. He heals us. He heals our land. He's the great ecologist. Talk about Greenpeace. He could write the book on it. He has written the book on it. It's this book here. And the book of nature that he has given to us, which often we take for granted. So today, if you have this certificate, it's just paper, all right? But sometimes it's useful. This is not a diploma from medical school or nursing school. It's just a piece of paper. But it does have something there that I hope you can take home and use And as a former grade school classroom teacher, I can tell you that my best students were the kids that taught other kids what they needed to know. So if somebody didn't know their times tables, I picked somebody who was good at it, and I said, would you teach Jimmy? And they'd go in their little corner, and I'd say, teach him not only just do them, but to do them in less than 30 seconds, and so forth. And in the teaching of it, you gain great proficiency. May God help you teach others what you've learned today, and be ready and be looking for an opportunity to heal the world around you. That is my prayer for you.